So as we just breathe into this day, I'll be sharing both this week and next week because around Gay Pride Month. So my talk title for today is Gay Pride Month, and part one is about greater awareness. And it seems that in our world, in humanity, we have been addressing more and more in the past, more recent years, and we're waking up a little bit to how much discrimination, how much prejudice, how much injustice is still resident in our thinking, in our experiences, in our world. There's been a great movement for racial equity and justice, and throughout the years, the GLBT the community has also been moving through the challenges of the discriminations and the judgments of humankind. And whether these came from, beliefs passed down throughout the ages, whether they were created by man, created out of fears or angers or hatreds or misunderstandings, they are present. And it's so important for us to just have a greater awareness in order to begin shifting out of those places of prejudice. And so Gay Pride Month is a wonderful time for us to be willing to open our minds and open our hearts and to begin to share and to have dialogue. I did quite a bit of research and some reading from some different websites. So, Susan, this one is from the MHA, which is the Mental Health Association, and then INDE. And also there will be OHCHR. So those two in the slide. There we go. Thank you. Yeah. So just having read an awful lot, I didn't know quite how to shorten those names, but this is what I was reading about. And it says, in the history of the United States, we have had many minority groups that have not been treated the same. They've been denied access to public places, not protected under certain laws, and the list goes on. One of the minority groups that had to endure these conditions was the LGBTQ community. People who were romantic with the same sex went to jail because it was illegal. Marriages were not an option for the LGBTQ communities, and if their significant other was sick, they were not allowed to be a medical advocate for their partner. As the years went by, many individuals from that community began to stand and fight to have equal opportunities. Now, this is just a drop in the bucket. I'm just mentioning a few little things for us to have an awareness and to recognize. We kind of go about our lives and we don't always think unless we are personally a part of that LGBTQ community. We can just sort of leave it on the surface and not pay attention at all, not even be aware of our own internal prejudices and biases and judgments. The other website goes on to say, around the world, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, and intersex, so the LGBTI, rather than Q for queer or questioning, there's several different terminologies that can be used to address this whole community. Those people continue to face widespread stigma, exclusion, and discrimination, including in education, employment, and healthcare, as well as within homes and communities. Many LGBTI persons face targeted physical attacks and extreme violence. They are beaten, sexually assaulted, tortured, and killed. Let's breathe into that. It seems pretty extreme, doesn't it? Usually we just sort of don't talk about that. This website is actually the Office of the High Commission of the United Nations, and it was from their website and all the work that they're doing to ensure human civil rights. And I thought that it's so very important for us to be a little more aware. So today's talk is going to be more along the lines of a tad bit more informational And I think it's good to have an open heart and an open mind, knowing that we can have different reactions at any time about anything, and kind of put up the walls and kind of go to sleep about it. But this is important to recognize and to remember. Laverne Cox, who is a transgender actress, she's won Emmy Awards. She's an LGBTQ advocate. She says, "It is revolutionary for any trans person to choose to be seen and visible in a world that tells us we should not exist. We are not what other people say we are. We are who we know ourselves to be." How powerful. She's a very, very well-known actress and played several parts. And to stand up in what many people would reject or discriminate against takes a lot of courage. And most are aware of Harvey Milk, who was the first gay man that was elected to public office in California and up in San Francisco, and who was assassinated for being gay. But he said, "It takes no compromise to give people their rights. It takes no money to respect the individual. It takes no political deal to give people freedom. It takes no survey to remove repression." And so as we breathe and become more aware of whatever concepts that we grew up with, whatever families we were in. I was born and raised in Southern California, and I was born and raised in unity and in a much more open-minded structure. And so my life was different than living a life where someone was exposed constantly to great discrimination, great judgments, great repression. And so it's important for us now to know we choose. We choose our thoughts. We choose how we feel. But it takes, first of all, being aware of them. Because a lot of times they're so unconscious. We've heard them through schools, through our friends and neighbors, through religion. And these belief systems that we just took for granted, it is time to question the validity and the truth, because they are not true, many of them. You know, a lot of people will pull forth and say, "Well, the Bible says." And yet we also know that the books of the Bible were chosen and formulated by the Nicene Council, and were formulated in a time and a structure of male dominance, and a time when in the Roman era there was that choicefulness to exert power over other people in order to herd them together and to say, "This is how you need to think and this is what you need to do." And yet there are so many passages in the Bible, if we step back from just the English translations and we look at how God is often referred to in Greek or in Aramaic, that has a feminine pronoun to it versus a masculine. I was talking to Sue the other day, and I did not have a chance to look that up. I was looking so much stuff up, but I cannot remember if it's... And maybe any of you know. If any of you know, Tamara, she might know. I'm not sure if it's Adonai or El Shaddai. And it actually refers to a woman's breasts. And that's one of the Jewish words for God. And so it's important for us to kind of to take a look differently at some of the ways the Bible was translated literally to conform to the message that the people in power wanted to put forth. That does not mean that the Bible is not sacred in its underlying truths and wisdom. So please, anybody out there, don't hear me incorrectly on that. but it's important for us to dig more deeply into etymology and into the structures of the communities at the time, and to understand why things were written the way they were written. In the scripture, from Galatians 3, 26 and 28, it says, "For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith." In other words, when we step outside of our human egoic mental stuff, faith means not a blind faith, not a, oh, following somebody else, you know, but when we go to the truth of our being, we are all children together of creation. It goes on to say, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Powerful, powerful. When we take the time for greater awareness and to some of the deeper messages that were being shared in the Bible. So I wanted to quickly run through history, but oh my gosh, I have like all these pages and pages. But I think it's important for us to remember, now not everyone is old enough to have been kind of living that when it was in our faces so much, when it began to appear. Some of us are old enough, and I do remember a lot of the things that were going on, but it wasn't a part of my life. So I was doing what I was doing and busy, that I was aware. But I just want to hit a few highlights. So in 1924, Henry Gerber, he was a German immigrant, he founded the Society for Human Rights, the first documented gay rights organization based out of Chicago. Gerber's small group also published a few issues. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? This is from the MHAIND, where it just said, thank you. Susan's so good. This stuff is hard for her to pull up from there. Gerber's small group also published a few issues of its newsletter, Friendship and Freedom, the country's first gay interest newsletter, but police raids caused the group to disband in 1925. By starting a committee, though, it showed the world that there were issues that needed to be addressed in order to give the LGBTQ community a voice. And so there were so many details and so many things that happened throughout that. Following that time, there was the Pink Triangle. That was from the Nazi label. That was the label that symbolize that they were the gay pride Pink Triangles were originally used in concentration camps to identify gay prisoners. So then we go to the homophile years in the 1950s. Harry Hay founded the Mattachine Foundation, one of the nation's first gay rights groups. That went on through many, up through 1955. And then that same year, four lesbian couples in San Francisco founded an organization called the Daughters of Bilitis, which soon began publishing a newsletter called The Ladder, the first lesbian publication of any kind. That's in 1955. For any of you who are alive then, kind of think about what the world was like and what courage and bravery it took to stand up to the hatred, the anger, the terrorism, and the discrimination. Okay, then a major event in 1969, it's now a famous event, the Stonewall Inn. There were, and it was catalyzed the gay rights movements, and that was a clandestine gay club. Stonewall Inn was an institution in Greenwich Village because it was large and allowed dancing and welcomed drag queens and homeless youths. But in the early hours of June 28, 1969, New York City police raided the Stonewall Inn. Fed up with years of police harassment, patrons and neighborhood residents began throwing objects at police. And so that ensued into a week-long of riots. And it was a beginning of, you know, of the voice being heard, of people saying, I'm standing up. I will not take this anymore. Then there were some moving forward, and it went a little slowly, but moving forward into the 70s, there were some political victories and increased visibility and activism of individuals. And, of course, I already had mentioned Harvey Milk, who campaigned on a pro-gay rights platform and became the San Francisco City Supervisor in 1978. The first openly gay man elected to political office in California. You know, and so that's like, you know, 78, what, 40 years, whatever, do the math. And think of the progression we have been making, but how much yet we need to make. He asked Gilbert Baker to design, and this is when the first flag was created for the rainbow flag. So I thought that was quite interesting. And so at that time, they created a parade, the Gay Pride Parade in 1978. And the following year, in 1979, more than 100,000 people took part in the first national march on Washington for lesbian and gay rights. You know, friends, as we just sit there and sort of think about these things, you might go, well, that doesn't affect me. And yet, it does in the ways that it affects any of us who stand up when we're criticized, when we're judged, when we stand up, though, for the truth of who we are. And to appreciate the journey that the LGBTQ and I community has gone through. And of course, then when we got into the 1980s and 90s, the AIDS outbreak occurred. And at that time, the second National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights in 1987 formulated. And so can any of you remember when you first heard? Do you remember Princess Diana, who was willing to go into the hospitals and be with those who were infected with HIV? And people said, how can you hold them? How can you kiss them? How can you be, you know, present like the little babies and being there? We can always ask ourselves, would I have been brave enough to do that? I don't know. I loved one of the episodes of Golden Girls, which I just watch all the time, watch them over and over, so I sort of remember them a lot. And there was a time when Rose had an infusion, and she got a letter saying, you may have been infused with blood that was HIV affected. She had to wait a whole week. Well, then Sophia, little grandma Sophia, didn't want to drink out of Rose's mug. And the whole of the rest of them, Dorothy and Blanche, you know, were like, you know, don't be that way. And yet, it's natural in our humanness, in our fears, especially when we don't know, to not know what to do. And so I'm just asking us to be aware, to remember this wasn't that long ago. And after the outbreak of AIDS, then don't ask, don't tell. Everybody remember that. So President Clinton in 1993 passed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, which allowed gay men and women to serve in the military as long as they kept their sexuality a secret. Yikes! Sure, come and serve your country, but don't tell us who you are. And yet it was a step forward, even though at this point we can look back and go, holy criminy, sorry, I said something else. Okay, so then gay marriage and beyond. So in 1992, District of Columbia passed a law that allowed gay and lesbian couples to register as domestic partners. So at least that began another step, and that was helpful. And there's all kinds of things in here back and forth of, and then gay marriage was legalized to some degree, and then it wasn't, and then a state didn't have to acknowledge a marriage from some different state. So we have gone through all different kinds of iterations. And so Congress passed the Defense of Marriage Act, which Clinton signed into law in 1996. The law prevented the government from granting federal marriage benefits to same-sex couples and allowed states to refuse to recognize same-sex marriage certificates from other states. But then it soon became powerless, that DOMA law, and when in 2015, well, that wasn't soon. In 2015, the Supreme Court ruled that states cannot ban same-sex marriage, making gay marriage legal throughout the country. Wow. Steps forward. And yet we can also recognize what kinds of prejudices any of us might have from childhood or from our upbringing, from religious strictures, from parents who say, well, marriage is only for a man and a woman. And so I'm just asking you to, you know, kind of feel into what feels right to you, what doesn't feel right to you. And recognizing that what we're not familiar with feels foreign to us, and it invites us to kind of step outside the box and go, well, yeah, I see I have this belief system inherent in me, and I didn't even recognize it was there. And for each of us, there's going to be something else that comes up and triggers us. But if we begin to recognize them, to notice them, to reveal them to ourselves, we can let the light be there to allow ourselves to grow and to embrace and to begin healing through the power of love, to begin being there for each other and to allow each person their own individuality. It's time for us to honor the LGBTQ community by supporting sexual orientation and gender identity freedoms, friends. Human rights to be who you are. Black, white, male, female, transgender, gay, lesbian. We are all a part of the human race. And as we begin to recognize that in racial injustice, in sexual orientation injustice, in these things, as we begin to do the work to be more aware, we begin to break these old belief systems that keep us encased. In 2016, the U.S. military lifted its ban on transgender people serving openly. And a few other things happened with other different presidents. I'm not going to go through all of that. Though LGBTQ Americans now have same-sex marriage rights and numerous other rights that seem far-fetched 100 years ago, the work of advocates is far from over. Universal workplace anti-discrimination laws for LGBTQ Americans is still lacking. And a lot of this is from, I don't think I did a slide for this, Susan, but this was from www.history.com. It's wonderful to go in and see. And I'm going to be going over some things around that next week, too. But it's gay rights proponents must also contend with an increasing number of religious liberty state laws which allow businesses to deny service to LGBTQ individuals due to religious beliefs, as well as bathroom laws that prevent transgender individuals from using public bathrooms that don't correspond to their sex at birth. So there's all these things, friends, that are still out there. And so I know that took a little bit of time, but I want to talk a little bit about Gay Pride Month, because that's what we're experiencing now. And Susan, if you would pull up the slide from Golda Duncan, please. Thanks. So LGBTQ Month, Pride Month, is currently celebrated each year in the month of June to honor the 1969 Stonewall Inn Uprising, which was the beginning of people fighting for their human rights. And it was considered to be a turning point for the gay liberation movement. And so during Pride Celebration Month, it's not just about fun and happy, and there can be that kind of misunderstanding about the gay communities and who they are and how they, any of us react to that. And yet Pride Month is a time for members of the community who to remember those who've been lost to AIDS or to hate crimes. It's a time to commemorate that. It's a time to be prayerful. It's a time to to recognize the impact that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals have had on history, both nationally and internationally. This celebration is so important to so many in the community to get together and not be afraid to be who they are around each other. They have the freedom to express themselves how they want and without judgment. Standing up to say, here I am, for any of us in the ways we do is difficult enough. But for those members of many discriminations, to do it against the face and in the face of so much ill will and hatred and anger takes even more courage. And from Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Friends, it is up to us to not let our fears, to not let the things we misunderstand, to begin addressing, you know, the challenges that we face. How are we going to come together? How are we going to have conversations that are difficult? How are we going to choose to embrace and to honor and to recognize each other? Some of you may know actor and singer Chris Colfer. He says, there's nothing wrong with you. There's a lot wrong with the world you live in. And Rachel Houston, who's chief of staff at Walt Disney, and I love this, says, when you reduce life to black and white, in other words, it's either this way or the highway, you never see rainbows. Yeah. So let us embrace this month, and going on, and next week I'll be talking too about some of the challenges, you know, that are faced. So whether someone is a part of the LGBTQ community, the challenges they face, and I'd love to hear from any of you who you want to send me an email this week or note some things, those challenges, then also recognizing the challenges of the families and of the communities around who oftentimes choose to stay in a stuck position, but oftentimes it's hard when you've grown up believing something for so long to shift that and to begin to engage with the power of love to help us release and forgive and to heal. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit more next week as I go into that. But I want to share from Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I talk about that often because we sometimes forget to love ourselves. We need to start there in order to love others. But this is such an important part of a recognition of Gay Pride Month. How are we going to show up? How are we going to say, I'd like to engage in conversation? I might feel awkward about this. I might say something that offends you and I don't know it, or vice versa. But can we talk? Can we see what your background was? What hurts do you carry within you? What hurts does someone else of your family or of friends who have a different perspective and who believe in these old beliefs that are so limiting and yet they feel they're real? And how difficult is that? So how do we come together and have those conversations? And it's a wonderful month to just be aware and to begin doing this, doing that. And I'll close for today with a quote from, how many of you are Trekkies who love Star Trek? How many of you remember George Takei, Sulu? Of course. And you know, got, if there's young people watching, they're who? I know. It's all right. Wonderful actor, wonderful. I believe he was Japanese or... Okay. He says, I love this. We should indeed keep calm in the face of difference. In other words, keep calm when you're not like me and I'm not like you. Keep calm in the face of difference and live our lives in a state of inclusion and wonder at the diversity of humanity. Friends, let's let this be a month of wonder, of recognizing diversity, of embracing diversity, and of beginning to be more aware of resonant beliefs that sometimes swing us by the tail and we don't even know it. So that concludes for today. Stay tuned for part two. We're going to go into this a little bit more. I've laid some groundwork and had so much stuff I didn't even cover everything I had for today. So that's good too. And